Well, how I'm going to start this, I brought my little make-believe friend with me. You know, he's standing right here, so y'all got to make-believe friend. But my make-believe friend is a new Christian. And what I'm going to call on you all to do, all of you that are Christians, will have an opportunity to advise my make-believe friend. Because my make-believe friend has a problem. Now, I'm going to read this little part that I got here to start off with. It will tell you a little bit about my make-believe friend. And after I read this, then it will be your opportunity to advise him or her on what they should do. And after you have a little time doing that, then I'll come up with a little bit more stuff that I have prepared for today. Okay. As I said, my make-believe friend is a new Christian. So, he says, I am a new Christian, believing in God, trying to live a Christian life to the best of my ability. I go to church every Sunday I can, when I don't have to work. I have changed my life in many simple ways and still working on many more. I'm trying to be an example to my children and teach them about God by bringing them to church also. A lot of my friends I don't associate with anymore because of my new lifestyle. But I have met many new friends in my church congregation. Sometimes life knocks the wind out of my sails, but I continue to pray to God to give me strength and help me through the storms. Herein lies my problem. It seems the more I pray, the more problems I face. Sometimes I don't think that God has time for me. I pray for a better job, a better place to live, a better car to get to work in, my children's safety, more money to pay my bills, etc. It seems that I make one step forward and get knocked back too. Sometimes I wonder if God even hears my prayers. Question, which is what we're going to talk about today. What do I do when I don't get an answer? This is what my friend wants to know. Now, being that we have some Christians here, this is why I opened up the floor to allow you the opportunity to advise my make-believe friends on what should he do or she when they don't get an answer. Okay, Amy?
You can ask our newfound Christian friends for advice.
Okay, that's good. That's a good one. Because that's what I'm doing now. Okay, Kathy?
I was thinking of James 1 to encourage your little friend, because in James 1, verse 2, consider it joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. You know it's the testing of your faith.
Okay.
Encourage for a reason, just to see if you're on track. And that it develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish at work so you may be mature, but not lacking in anything.
Mm-hmm. I like that doubting part. Anybody else? Okay.
Give it. I heard your advice that Rick C gave one mm-hmm. time, and he said, the stronger your faith and the more you lean on God, the more Satan's going to attack.
Okay.
And my advice would be to keep on praying and to keep on learning and just stay on that road.
All right. I like that too. Let me get Jerry and then you. Okay.
Not getting the answer sometimes is getting the answer.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
God's time is not our time.
Mm-hmm.
At the proper time, God hears prayers. He'll answer that prayer, maybe not the way you want it answered, but he'll answer that prayer. And by not getting an answer there, it's not the time to get that answer.
Okay. Yes, miss.
Be patient. God has a plan.
Okay. Definitely. I like that one, too. Anyone else? Okay, my advice to my friend, first of all, was telling them about the world in which we live in. We look for quick solutions, quick answers. Everything's quick. That's the way the world in which we live in now. You can go get instant this, a fast food that. If we had to wait for anything, that puts us on edge. So our lifestyle pattern is fast, fast, fast. With God, you can't be fast, fast, fast. You have to be patient and wait on Him. Sometimes when you pray, it puts you on a limb of faith. Because you are praying to God that you don't see. When you go to someone and you face them face to face, you have more confidence in what they're saying because you can deal with them face to face. And even if you don't like what they say, you can still argue your case more or less. With God, you just got to accept what He says and be patient and wait on Him. Especially when you pray on matters that's of importance to you, you definitely want to answer quick. You want to, God, I prayed to you, I trust in you, I believe in you. I need this answer like yesterday. You know, I need this job like yesterday. We're in a hurry. Everybody's in a hurry nowadays. And when it don't come slow enough, it causes you to start second-guessing. And second-guessing yourself or God does not build your faith. So what we need to do, we need to stand. I told my friend what he needs to do. He needs to stand strong on his faith, despite being God being silent, or despite the length of time that it takes for him to get the answer that he wants. It also builds your patience waiting on God. This class is going to be based on, or the first thing I came up with. If you're turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7, and which you all might be pretty familiar with it, but this is what I would advise my friend also. It reads, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." Now, as we look at this verse, or these two verses, let's take apart this part where it says, in everything, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Some of your Bibles may say, by prayer and petitions, yes. Prayer, when we pray, is basically, it has a lot to do with praising God for who He is and what He does. A lot of people start off with explaining how magnificent God is, where He's at. Our Heavenly Father, we know He's not in this world, or not physically in this world. He's the God of Abraham. We heap on the praises and acknowledge who God is, and we praise Him for that. But when we petition God, or supplication, we are actually begging for God to hear our prayer and asking for something particular. I have here, let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7.
Well, before you go on from that, there's a third thing in there, and it's an important thing. The last thing is thanksgiving, thanking Him for what He's done for us. We also want.
Right.
How often do we sit down and thank Him for what He's done for us?
That's true. I had forgot that I was going to get to it later, but that's fine. That's good. That's very important, too, the thanksgiving. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it reads, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with cries and tears to him who was able to save him. And this is what Christ did, to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Now, if Christ prayed to God with supplication, why shouldn't we? And he did it so, the word again, be hip. Thank you. Well, which means he was earnest, he was sincere, and so sincere that he had cries and tears. So God knew that he wasn't just trying to get over, pull his leg, just say something that he thought God wanted to hear. He really wanted God to answer his prayers, and he thought it was very important to him. Let's turn over also to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now that was talking about supplication and petition. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And that reads, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we will, I'm sorry, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him, which means we know that he's going to answer our prayers. We're petitioning to him. We're pleading with him. We're asking him to do a certain thing that we want done. But an important part of this verse here is whatever, how does that read? It says, according to his will. Sometimes we get a little carried away of what we want, and it's not exactly in accordance with what God wants. That's very important. That's one reason, too, why the answer to your prayer may be a little slow. God still hears your prayer, and he may be taking his time to answer that prayer because something else needs to happen before then. Using an example of you're praying for someone to change their life and come to Christ. But the lifestyle that they are living, they're not concerned with Christ, they don't want to hear anything about Christ, they don't want to do anything right. Something else has to happen in that person's life before God can grant that prayer. So, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for that. We should. Because that's in accordance with God's will, because God doesn't want anyone to be lost. But we have to also do our part in trying to change that person's way of thinking, if we can, or try to show them in a way in which we live as an example, that it will be better for them to change their lifestyle, or do whatever we can do. Sometimes we can't do. Sometimes it takes something else, like something that happens in their life that opens their eyes to make them realize, oh, man, I get it. I need to change. I got to stop doing this. It may be involvement in an accident. Could be a terrible fall. It could be anything. But it's something that's so life-threatening, or something that really shakes them up enough to make them realize, I'm thankful to be alive. Hey, maybe I need to change the way I live, and things would be a little different for me. Okay, you had a comment?
I was just going to say, and you touched on this, that we pray for things, but it's not necessarily that this is in line with God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he wants you to go through certain situations,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have the courage to ask God to be by your side as you go through this. And it's one thing to go through problems by yourself, but if you have enough faith that God is by your side to get you through this, your faith on the other end will have grown tremendously. Because, you, number one, you had that faith, and number two, because God saw you through safely through this situation.
All right. Each thing that we go through strengthens our faith. Mm-hmm. We should look at it like that anyway. And everything that happens is always a test. Sometimes we don't see it as a test. Yeah. But when we look back on it, we may realize, you know, that was a test. And we realized that God was with us all the time. Did I see another hand? Come on, had another comment. Okay. Now we get to the part of Thanksgiving, what you were talking about. Prayer for Thanksgiving to God expresses gratitude for what He has done and will do for us. When we focus on reasons we have to thank God, it helps us to maintain a joyful outlook. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. And it reads, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now sometimes we pray and we are very serious in our prayer, and I'm not gonna say we pray morning, noon, and night. But we pray often because this is what's really troubling our heart. Once we get it, as you alluded to, or God answers our prayer in a way which is satisfactory for us, then we say, "God, help me out of that one. I'm so thankful." But we didn't pray to God to say, "Thank you, Lord, for getting me over that hurdle. Thank you, Lord, for being there for me. Thank you, Lord, for being God that you are that I can turn to when I'm in times of trouble." But we go on, and we're thankful. We're very thankful. We just don't say we're thankful until another obstacle comes up that we can't handle. And then, "Oh, Lord, I need you again. You helped me last time, but I remember." You know, sort of like the guy that was in jail, they remember Joseph after a period of time. We do remember, and we are thankful. We just don't show it as often as we should. Because, like I said, everything is a test. We don't realize it sometimes, but everything is a test. And sometimes when you wonder, "Why me?" Try thinking, "Why not me?" Because who else is supposed to be the example but me? Not just me, but I mean us and us all. And we say we are Christians, and we say we believe in Christ, and we're trying to follow His will. But who else is going to set the example? Who else is going to be the example? So why not me? And the way in which I handle this, because if I get a situation, whether someone that's crossed my path, which is better known as the devil, and upset me, and I do the same thing that this other guy does, that every week we know that when as soon as he get paid, he's going to go and get tore up, and he's got a nasty mouth, and he doesn't live like a Christian, and then I'm going to go flying off the handle and saying some of the same things he said. Where's the difference? Who's going to see that? I know someone's going to see it, because someone that I don't see that's way over in the corner, "Man, I thought that guy said he go to church. I thought that guy said he was a Christian. He's just like the other guy." So there's no difference. Yes.
As you read in First Thessalonians 5:16, let's pick it up in verse 19. Where we're going to pick it up, continue with that thought on verse 19, where it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. That's an individual responsibility.
Right.
And yet he's admonishing, says, do not. He's not suggesting. He is saying, do not.
By our actions.
Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. And again, here's some more encouragement. Test everything.
Right.
Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil.
Right.
It didn't say some. This is not a suggestion.
Right.
It is telling us to avoid it. Avoid it. And again, every kind of evil. But that list is very, very lengthy. But again, the encouragement. It says, may God Himself, now this is our Creator, the God of peace. Not turmoil. Not a God of doubt. Not a God of what is. It's a God of peace. There's a comfort in knowing that.
Yes.
There should be a comfort in knowing that. He's a God of peace. Sanctified, may God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it.
Okay.
Our Lord is coming back.
Amen.
And we look forward to that with great anticipation. Because that's going to be a special day, a wonderful day, a day of promise, a day of happiness, a day of encouragement. I mean, there's going to be no other day like
it. Amen. That too.
One day closer, brother.
That's one appointment we're not going to miss. I appreciate you bringing up that point. At the end of verse number 22, abstain from every form of evil. Just to add to that, it doesn't say abstain until you get off from work, or abstain until you leave out of the church building.
Until you get
Yeah. Because it's an ongoing thing. 24/7. You know, and that's one of the things we have to keep in mind also. If nothing else, because of the fact we wear the name of Christ wherever we go. And I've had to learn that lesson over and over and over. One of my pet peeves, my wife can tell you, and for a guy that occupation is driving, that really irks me for someone to cut in front of me. You come and cut in front of me and then you're going to make a turn. I just don't get it, you know. But, you know, you just got to back off and say, bless him, Lord, because I can't, you know. But, you know, that's just one of the things. But anyway, it's always, and people that are watching, you know, they can tell what type of person you are. Even if you don't have to go in and say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church every Sunday, I'm a member of this church over here. They can tell. Even if they never knew you went to church, the first thing they would say, oh, you talking about Wes? Oh, yeah, he's a good guy, man. He's the best guy. Man, that guy, he'll do anything for you. You know, he'll help you. He'll do this. Which gives praise to God, because you are acting in Christ, you know, or you're living in Christ. You're walking in Christ. You're trying to do His will. But if he say, oh, Wes, man, no, not him. I don't fool with him.
Don't cut in front of him.
Yeah. I had a, when I was in the service, there was a guy, when I went overseas, went to Korea, and I went in this clothing store, and I was with a buddy of mine. He was the one that took me to the clothing store, got some clothes made. The guy, the man that owned the store, he said, "Oh, you know this guy?" I said, "Yeah." "Huh. The saying over there is, if things are good, you're number one, number one. This guy, he's number 10,000. So that lets you know he's not a good person. Okay. Oh, that's what happened. I had, let's look at, right quickly, First Peter chapter 5, verse 8-11. I had my things marked out of time quickly. Lost my page. Chapter 5. Okay. Verse Peter 5, verse 8-11. And it reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As you just stated, also resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, offer you, after you, have suffered a while," that lets you know right there you're going to go through some trials and tribulations, "perfect, establish, strength, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Man, I had in this footnote, I thought that was, it had to be important. Be vigilant. Means to be alert to the spiritual pitfalls life and take appropriate steps to make certain that we do not stumble. A lot of times we don't even realize that the devil has grabbed hold to us until after he's kind of got a good grip. You know, you can start out disagreeing with someone about something. The next thing you know, it's a heated argument. How did it get to that? A lot of us guys, we can do that easily. You're talking about a football team, if you like. I don't know what the women do, but guys, we can do that easily. Talk about somebody's team, or some people, they're ready to go to blows. The amazing thing is, they're not getting paid for it. But, I've been a fan since 19, whatever. But that's their team. You're not going to say nothing bad about their team. It's too bad they can't stand up like this for Christ. But that's another thing. We know that the devil goes around trying to get us. That's why we need God, as we read in the previous verses, to give us that peace and to guard our heart. Because if God is with us, we won't get blowed up like that. But that doesn't mean that the devil is not going to keep on trying. He's definitely going to keep on trying. We have to resist him. And God would be like a good doctor when he's setting a broken bone. God will mend our broken lives and make us whole. He will make our way straight so that we won't stumble despite the pitfalls. He will make it aware to us that, hey, don't get involved with that. That's not good. If the situation getting out of hand, he's going to let you know, back off. You know, you don't need to do that. Even if you are speaking on behalf of God, You know what you're saying, right? You're trying to convince someone that they should change their way of living or that they should do something that stop doing something that they're doing. But they don't want to change. All we're supposed to do is plant the seed. We can't make them change, regardless of how much we talk, how much we show them in the Bible, how much we tell them. The only thing we're going to do is push them further away. The only thing we can do, say our piece and say, well, this is what the Lord says, that's all. And he will give us the strength to succeed in what we need to do. And as a consequence of us facing the attacks of our enemy, God will build in us a firm foundation that will make us steadfast and immovable as long as we depend on his word and do his will. But the thing is, we have to guard against, don't get so carried away that we start putting what we think in it and what we want to do. And I think you need to do so and so and so. And you know you're not right. You need to do this thing. This is what I do. Don't compare what you do to what someone else should do. Let them figure out what God wants them to do. All you can do is show them the way. And in my closing, when God doesn't answer prayer the way you like him to, remember what I said about the world in which we live. We all have desires and wants. I like this way. Someone else likes something another way. I can't make God do what I want him to do because this is the way I want him to do it. I worship God. God doesn't worship me. So I have to be patient and remember who God is and who I'm talking to. Because if I think for a minute, wait a minute, this is the guy that made me. I don't think I ought to get too boastful or too demanding, because he might say, okay, that's enough. I heard all I want to hear. and just take me out.
Well, sometimes we think of God as Santa Claus.
Yes.
To fulfill all our wants and needs and desires, when the scripture tells us that it has to be in accordance with his will,
mm-hmm.
not ours. Mm-hmm.
And also sometimes like a genie.
Yeah.
Because I done did this, excuse my language, I have done this. I went to church, I've helped the poor, I've put money in the plate, I go to church every Sunday, God, you owe me. You know, like I supposed to get this. I won't say you owe me, but I'm thinking you owe me because I did everything. Isn't that what Job thought? You know, that he was good, and he just wanted to know why. Yes.
We talked about this in Bible class the other day. If we asked God to give us what we deserve, if only we got what we deserve,
mm-hmm.
not want what we
deserve. Amen to that. Amen. Did you have a comment?
Amy got it.
Oh, okay, okay.
Being a Christian, we're not entitled.
Right.
We are not entitled.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Christ himself, the Son of God, did not equate himself to be equal with God. Not at all. Not at all. But he is the Son of God. He knew that. But he also showed how he needs to live,
yes.
how to conduct himself, so that he is our example, and we too need to humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back to your imaginary friend there.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely suggest you should read your scriptures every day.
Yes.
If you're not in that habit, you need to. Because obviously, how are you going to know how to keep yourself from evil if you don't know even what it looks like?
Right.
And it's very deceptive. It's very cruel. And you'll pay a high price. But again, you won't know that until you know what the correct lifestyle is.
Yeah.
The correct attitude, the correct prayer life, and also understanding the ramifications of being a Christian.
Yes.
It is a beautiful thing. It's a hard thing. challenging thing. But so worth it. But again, they're not going to know it until they read it for themselves. And like again, as you pointed out, it's far beyond us, those who are mature in Christ, to say, you need to do this because I said so.
Mm-hmm. That's not good.
You don't have that authority.
Yeah.
You don't. And again, it's not being saying it out of love in front of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I want to say 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, where it says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. You are Christian.
Yes.
I'm not sorry.
That's right.
I'm not sorry. I'm a Christian. God is my Father.
And we'll get our just reward.
And so, now that you mention that, but praise God that you bear that name, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner?
That's what they don't realize and don't think about. And that's what our job is, to try to get them to see that. Is it worth it to you once you see it? I can attest to the fact that before I became a Christian, it used to be, I used to say there's two things I would never be, a policeman and a preacher. It's because you're always in the public eye. You know, you can't never do nothing wrong. Everybody's always watching. And now, the short time that I've been a Christian, I can see this has been the best life compared to what I was doing before, which has never dawned on me. Everything I was doing before, I was still in the public eye. All the crazy, idiotic things I did, I mean, I heard or saw the people pointing at me and talking about me behind my back or as I went by, but I knew they were. And now, it's more beneficial for me the way I live. No, I wouldn't even go back to that, you know. So I've learned that much, which motivates me to keep on going while I'm going. One other thing I want to leave you with, and then the class will be over. Time will best tell if what seems like a no answer is simply an answer that comes more slowly than other answers. God's timing in your life is perfect, and He knows best what events must happen before an answer comes. Be patient and expecting. And one more. An answer that takes time is even more assuredly the best answer for your life. God is not in a hurry. So I trust that it will help you, as well as my imaginary friend, to think on things, especially when things get hard, because if nothing else, keep in mind that God is with us 24/7, and the devil is at us 24/7. So even though he is at us, God is still there too. So we got help. All we need to do is be patient and rely on God. Thank you for your participation.